Welcome to Ujiria, broadcasting live from Business Radio X Studios. Ujiria is a Greek word meaning health of body and mind in aging individuals. Ujiria Radio is a weekly show celebrating the heroes that contribute to the Ujiria of our elderly and disabled population. Now joining us in the studio are your hosts, Sam Grass and Brad Culp.
Good morning. This is Mary Jo Bowser, and we are in the Sandy Springs Business Radio X studio this fine spring morning. I think spring's finally arrived. What do you think, Alex?
I think so, and I love it.
I do, too.
It's gorgeous outside.
Alex is our new producer, and we are in the studio this morning with a new friend of mine as well. Gene Norman was the weatherman on Channel 46 here in Atlanta for 8 years, so you may recognize this voice when he says hello. Hi, Gene.
Hey, Mary Jo. Hey, Alex.
Hello. Good morning.
Thank you for being with us today. I appreciate that. Well, Gene is with a new venture for him called Weather Call, but before we tell our audience what Weather Call is, let's just hear a little bit about you. Where'd you come from, and how did you get here?
Okay, well, how did I get here? I got in a car. No. I was brought here by the Ford Motor Company. I actually grew up in New York on the East Coast. Can't you tell by my accent? and I moved to Texas in the mid-80s to work for NASA. NASA had a computer that they used to monitor the weather for the space shuttle, because the space shuttle could only take off and land in very specific weather conditions. And that was an exciting job. But what I always wanted to do was do the weather on TV. So in 1993, that summer, I did what for me was the unthinkable. I took one day out of every week off in the month of July and literally drove to TV stations. Now, this was back in the time when you could do that. Nowadays, try doing that. They won't let you through the front door because you got to fill out stuff online and whatnot. But in those days, I literally took my homemade demo tape and shopped it around. And lo and behold, I got a part-time job in Beaumont, Texas. I still kept my good paying NASA job because, you know, I didn't know if this TV thing was going to work out. So, but I did that on the weekends. And before I knew it, within less than 2 years, I was working in Houston where I was living for the number one station there doing the weekend weather.
That is cool.
Yeah, it was a true, true miracle in terms of, you know, perseverance and following your dream. And I did that for a number of years. I always wanted to, of course, be the main person. Weekends is great. You know, being on the air was great. And I had a lot of great opportunities, learned how to be a good reporter as well. But I always wanted to be that Monday through Friday person. So I found out about an opportunity here in Atlanta. And I came here in 2000 and worked at WGCL for 8 years, the CBS affiliate here. After that, I went back to Houston for a while to work at a different station for a number of years. And then I ended up in Birmingham, Alabama. Very challenging weather markets, all of those, because you've got the combination of hurricane threats in Houston, of course, as well as other severe weather. And, of course, Birmingham, Alabama, just ripe with severe weather. It seemed like those thunderstorms there were very different than any storm really? I ever encountered. First time the thunder roared, I felt it inside my body. And I thought, there's something different about the weather here in Alabama.
Well, I have to make a confession. You've already just ratcheted up a couple of notches in my book, because that was actually one of my dreams too.
Is that right?
I wanted to be an on-air personality, either weather girl or weather woman or a commentator. But they told me way back when that I had to learn to be a reporter first, and I didn't like to. Mm. I was like, okay, forget it. So good for you, Gene. That's really cool.
So that was really exciting. You know, one of the things that connected me to Weather Call is this company started in 2007, which was a very important date in weather enterprise history, because at that time, the Weather Service changed the way they issued warnings. They used to issue a warning for an entire county. They'd say all of this county, that county is under a warning. They leveraged some new technology to allow them to say, look, we're just going to pinpoint the most dangerous part of a storm, and we're going to focus on where that is, and we're going to draw a box that says where this storm is going. Well, Weather Call came along at the right time to leverage that. And they figured out, wait a minute, if we know if someone's in the box, we can let them know they're in danger. We can send them a phone call, text, or email telling them you're in danger. You're actually inside this warning box.
Warning box.
Very precise. They came to us in 2008 while I was in Houston and said, hey, we want to partner with your station and let you be the one that exclusively promotes this service. So we said, great, that's a great opportunity to serve the public. There's a revenue share, plus it's my voice on the phone call. Fast forward about a year or so after we started using WeatherCall on the air, it was the middle of August. There was a gentleman who was a WeatherCall subscriber who was out managing a boys' home. And the kids were outside playing. Again, it was a summer afternoon. And all of a sudden, his phone rings. And it's my voice telling him, you're under a tornado warning. Now, he looks around. He's, well, it's kind of cloudy, but it doesn't look that bad to me, you know. Sure enough, he doesn't hesitate. He gets the kids inside. It starts raining real hard. 5 minutes later, a tree falls on the very spot where the kids were playing.
Wow.
Oh, my goodness.
And he called me after that storm passed, his voice trembling, you know, thank God I have some way to know, because what if I didn't have that way to know and the kids were outside playing? So it's stories like that that connect me to the value of what WeatherCall offers. So we have an opportunity to provide this service to individuals, to businesses. We have ways to help schools. We even have a fundraising program that is unlike most other fundraising programs, is that it goes on after the initial sale. So you get $5 off of this subscription, which is only $9.95 a year in the first year. And then your organization gets a dollar back every year after someone renews. So yeah, selling cookies. And this time of year, I love the cookies that a certain organization sells.
Uh-huh.
But once the cookies are gone, that's it. I mean, I'm satisfied, but you know.
So one phone number, $9.95 for the year. Did I hear that right?
That's correct. $9.95 for the year.
And then after that, what's the dollar? How does that work?
Well, this is for the fundraising part.
Okay.
So if your group, your 501c3, if they participate in our fundraising program, then as they sell those subscriptions, we give them a special portal that they can use to order or for someone to buy the service. It's connected back to that organization. They get back $5 off of the $9.95 the first year and a dollar each year that subscriber renews. So that's a great fundraising opportunity. And for the average person, just $9.95 to be monitored. And, you know, I met Mary Jo at a bunch of different senior care networking events because she's a great advocate for quality senior care. That's what
Thank you, Gene.
When you gave your presentation at a Chamber of Commerce event that I went to recently, it really touched me how concerned you were with people. You know, a lot of times, and granted, everyone wants a business that's profitable. And there's nothing wrong with that. But when you add the extra component of really helping people in a personal way, it leaves an impact that's unlike just, you know, making a sale.
It also helps work be more rewarding, doesn't it?
Exactly.
Yes.
Exactly. And in much the same way, that's how I feel when I get the calls or I see on our Facebook page people saying, thank goodness I had this. It called me last night. We got to safety. Those are the stories that I love hearing. Because as a meteorologist, you know, one of the things that bothers me a lot in the media is this perception that the weather enterprise is not doing its job. You'll see on the nightly news a big blaring headline, without warning. That's nonsense. There's no such thing as without warning. We're very good in the weather enterprise about getting the warnings out. The National Weather Service puts those warnings out. The question is, are you getting them? And then if you're getting them,
are you paying attention?
Exactly. Are you paying attention? So are you getting them? Are you paying attention? And number three, do you understand what it means? It's tragic that people sometimes are not clear on the difference between a watch and a warning. And they'll take the wrong action because of hearing the wrong information. So I'm connected to trying to help people, you know, get what they need to know. And our service provides that in an instant way.
Well, and I want you to tell us the difference. But before you do that, let's back up a little bit. I want you to repeat how you get WeatherCall to them.
Sure. Well, you go to our website, weathercall.net, and sign up for this service. Again, for the individual, it's $9.95 a year. With that, you'll register your home address, and you'll put three contacts that need to be notified when that address falls within that very specific National Weather Service warning, that box that we talked about.
Contacts like phone numbers.
Right.
Okay.
They can be phone, text, or email. So
To
three people for one address can be notified. So that could be, let's say you have an elderly relative living alone. They put their contact information, but they also put the contact information of a friend who lives nearby or a relative in another state. The phone rings. That person gets told they're under tornado warning, but so does daughter in Florida or son in Ohio. And he can call back, Mom, I heard that you're under a tornado warning. Are you okay?
Perfect. Okay? Perfect.
Yeah. Or think about a parent at work. Their child is home because a lot of kids are at home by themselves. So the parent comes home. The phone rings in the house or on that child's cell phone. In many cases, kids today have cell phones, obviously. But it also rings at the parent's job. And they can check, is everything okay at the house? So that's a great way to just know that something is happening. Then we have a mobile version of that same service that ranges between $11.95 and $17.95 a year based on what kinds of notifications you want to know about. We have a way for you to know if lightning is within 6 miles of your location or if you're under a storm warning. You could be driving down the road and the phone would ring or it would light up letting you know you've now entered a storm warning. Not only that, but it tells you how much time before it expires. So you can watch the minutes tick down. Supposing you found out you're under tornado warning and you're able to get to someplace safely. Well, you can watch your phone as those minutes tick down. The warning expires in 5 minutes, in 3 minutes, in 2 minutes. Or the lightning. Last time a lightning strike was detected was so many minutes ago. And once 15 minutes or 30 minutes passes by, you know, you get a second call saying all clear.
Okay, now I've got a kind of an interesting question. I've got a back office question for you, Gene, because I've seen you. Now, you're the voice, but I've seen you at networking events, and you're the face of this thing, too. So you're not driving around in a mobile weather studio right now, are you? I mean, how does it get from the station to you and from you to the end user?
Okay, so we have a very sophisticated computer process that looks at all the warnings that are coming out every second that the National Weather Service issues them. At the same time, we have a list of our subscribers. So this computer process says, is Mary Jo in the box? Yes.
We're lucky it's a pretty day out there, aren't we, Alex?
Yes, we are.
He could be interrupted at any moment.
Are you in the box? Yes. Make the phone call. Send the text. Send the email. So it's all being done by an automated process.
Okay.
That's the key, Mary Jo, is that we automate what others perhaps do manually or perhaps pay a lot of money to have an on-call meteorologist. They pick up the phone and say, okay, it's dark outside. What should we do? Instead, we automate it.
Okay.
And that's why it's so inexpensive. That's why we can make that cost only $9.95 a year for an individual. We have a similar service for schools.
I was going to ask that. Yeah, that would work with the fundraising thing too, I bet.
Exactly. A school can get this service. Go to our website. $50 a year.
Very
I didn't
good.
Stutter. $50 mm-hmm. a year.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, like I told you when I invited you to be here, this is for seniors. This is for elders. And, you know, I tell you what, it just seems like, I don't know, the older you get, the more interested you are in the weather.
Oh, yeah.
That is true.
And that's one way they stay current, too. So do you do anything like that for assisted livings or certain communities, senior communities?
Well, you just feed me all the right lines
good.
Here.
Well, very good.
This is flowing so perfectly. Yeah, well, we have that weather call at home for a senior living by themselves. We're also able to do a more enhanced monitoring for an assisted living facility. In fact, we just signed a big one here in the Atlanta area. And what they get is they get 10 of their key staff notified. All right. So
that's great.
They
idea.
Can execute their safety plan. Every facility has a safety plan in some capacity.
Mm-hmm.
We don't tell people how to do that. We just say, we're going to give you the tool to know it's time to execute it. So they get the phone call, the text, the email. They also get a way to notify a secondary level of people. So let's say there's 5 people who absolutely need to know, and then there's 10 others. They're kind of on the secondary tier. Well, right from the email and text they get, they can push a button. And that executive director, that manager can say, tell everybody else that we have this danger. We also put a radius around that location. And if that warning box I mentioned touches the radius, they also get a phone call. Hey, this could be coming to you. So that's kind of a lead time. And then the third thing we do that no other provider I know of does, we give you the all clear. Once the storm has passed, you're now able to get back to what you're doing. So if you're a person that manages an assisted living facility,
yes.
And it's 3 a.m, and you've got 200-300 residents, if that weather radio goes off, you need to be darn sure that you're rousing those 200-300 people who have mobility challenges, health challenges, in some cases, awareness challenges.
Absolutely.
But they absolutely need to take action. So our service guarantees no false alarms.
But also, you don't have to be listening to the radio
exactly or
watching
right.
TV. I mean, that's kind of happened to me. I'm one of those people who just, you know, when I'm home, I'm home. I don't worry about too much. And I'm not a big TV watcher. So, I mean, it would be great for me because I would be one that would probably be unaware if there was a tornado warning out there. Right. I mean, you can't be if you're in charge of other people's lives. So that's great.
And we talked about 2007 being an important date.
Mm-hmm.
Well, when they went to that storm-based warnings, mm-hmm. while that's a great advancement, unfortunately, the rest of the weather enterprise didn't catch up. So the weather radio, the free smartphone app that you have on your phone, and the outdoor siren, they're still warning based on the county.
Yeah. Mm.
And this happened just a few weeks ago here in Fulton County, which is where we are. Fulton County is, you know, is an odd-shaped county. It's kind of mm-hmm. long, and it's shaped like a giraffe, I always say. You've got Alpharetta and Dunwoody at the head, and you got places like Fairburn and the airport down at the foot. Well, if they issue a warning that covers those southern areas, guess what? Your weather radio in Roswell, Alpharetta, and the northern part also sounds.
Oh.
The outdoor siren sound, because all they know is Fulton County.
Mm-hmm.
Not mm-hmm. the box that touched a piece of Fulton County.
Right.
So we put you in the box. So it doesn't matter what the county is. All you have to focus on is, am I in the box?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And you have your own personal weather person.
Right. The way we say it, it's like having your own personal meteorologist on call 24/7, and he calls you.
That's good.
He calls you.
That's really good. And I mean, for the price, it's just great.
Yeah,
it's great.
I mean, more than the price, it's the peace of mind, which you can't really put a value on. And for a business owner who's, again, responsible for all those people to be able to act with confidence, you know, mm-hmm. again, I think of that person at 2 and 3 in the morning who's, you know, maybe gets some notification some other way and they're trying to figure out, well, what do we do? And even if they put them in some kind of shelter location, how do we know it's time to go back out? How do we know when it's safe?
So is Atlanta the home of this company, or where was it started, and where do you what are you responsible for?
Okay. Gene? Well, the company started in Denver, Colorado, with our company president, Valerie Ritterbush. She's also a meteorologist. She's spent many, many years in the weather enterprise with various companies. And when she was presented with this opportunity, she partnered with a business partner who had the technical ability to put people in the box and created this product. So we're based out of Colorado, but it is a nationwide service. So this operates anywhere in the continental United States from Puerto Rico. And we're able to give people the warnings. Again, when I connected with them, Valerie's charge was go and spread the word of Weather Call, you know, mm-hmm. be my John the Baptist, so to speak, or whatever you want to call it. But, you know, to let businesses know, because again, we started out with those affiliate relationships with television stations like the one that I used to work at.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're in those cities, New Orleans, Tulsa, Dallas, Memphis, Nashville, you probably heard of Weather Call because there's a person on TV talking about it. Unfortunately, in Georgia, we don't have that relationship yet. We're working on it. But in the meantime, I'm introducing people to that and getting a lot of people to recognize the value. And especially in the senior care community, with so many facilities springing up.
It is
amazing. When I first started going to these networking meetings where I met Mary and others, Mary Jo and others, you know, I was amazed at how many new facilities are springing up all across this area, at least North Atlanta and in Forsyth County and Bartow County, all these counties north of the city where people want to go to retire. And there are some nice facilities being built, but you know, anybody is vulnerable to the weather. One of the things I always say is weather doesn't follow a schedule.
That's right.
I mean, just think about the people in Birmingham, Alabama, Christmas Day last year.
Mm.
They were enjoying Christmas. Everything was fine. And then 6 o'clock, tornado comes through.
Mm-hmm.
Next day in Dallas, 9 tornadoes hit. Mm. And unfortunately, there were some fatalities. So you can't schedule when these things are going to happen. You can't know for sure that today is not your day or tomorrow is not your day. You need to be ready. You need to have a way to know. Like you said, you're just living your life.
Mm-hmm.
You're at home enjoying your time with your family. You're not sitting there staring at a radar screen wondering, is that blip coming for me?
That's right. And that's a good segue to the next thing I want you to talk about. And that is you do some weather safety talks, right? You just came from one this morning.
Exactly. You know, one of the things that gives me joy is educating people, is letting them know and explaining to them what they need to do to get ready. So I talked to school groups. I talked to senior groups, spoke to one, as you said, just earlier this morning. And I kind of walked them through the what is the process for how weather warnings are made? What do they mean? And what I call the five levels of awareness. We actually got this and adapted it from a FEMA presentation. But the five levels of awareness are this. Number one, you have to have a reliable way to get warnings. Number two, you have to understand what they mean. Number three, you have to believe that it's actually a threat. If I were to tell you right now that my phone is buzzing because there's a tornado warning, most people, when told that information, do one of three things. They look out the window. Let's just be honest. We all want to, can we see it? Because if right. we can see it, we kind of believe that it's actually something we have to worry about.
Mm-hmm.
Or we might wait for a phone call from a friend or relative. Hey, I heard there's a storm coming toward Sandy Springs, you know? Or we might check social media in our day and time. You know, a lot of people look for that. People are taking pictures of things. And once we see, oh, this storm is doing damage, maybe I need to start taking it seriously. The fourth step is we personalize it. Everybody has been through some kind of bad storm. Everyone can remember it. If we had the time, I could ask you, Mary Jo, I could ask you, Alex, to repeat like the worst storm you've ever been through. And you'd be able to recall it in excruciating detail. Because the other thing I know about the weather, aside from it doesn't follow a schedule, it's personal. It touches everybody in a very specific way. So you might say to yourself, well, I've been through a storm like that, so I think I'll be all right. Well, the problem is you can't base your actions on the next storm based on the last storm, because mm-hmm. they could be very different. I had this challenge all the time when I was in Houston giving people hurricane preparedness training. Because they would say, oh, I've been through a Cat 2, so I'm okay. I said, well, hurricanes are like fingerprints, all right? Mm-hmm. We all know what a fingerprint is, but each one of us has a different one. Mm-hmm. So they're called fingerprints, but they can do different things. So you can't base your decisions on a past episode. Right. And then finally, after you go through all those four steps, then you get to the act step where you actually take action. Well, you've wasted a lot of time between get a warning and take action. And our weather call philosophy is we eliminate those middle time wasting steps. We get you right from find out something's happening, take action. And so I explain that to people in my presentation. I also walk them through the basics of building an effective safety plan. And whether you get weather call or not, there's some basics that you should know. Where would you go in your house if you had notification that there was a dangerous storm heading your way? Make sure that everyone knows it's the interior room, away from windows, a closet, the bathroom, a basement, all right? Someplace where you can protect yourself as best you can. I've gone to so many tornado aftermath locations in my job in television, whether it was in Texas or in Alabama or in Georgia. And when you see the destruction, you know, it's very capricious. It seems like one house gets hit, the next house, nothing. And in the house that got hit, what's the area that's usually standing is the bathroom.
Right.
It's a closet, all right? The other parts are gone. And I remember I was in a helicopter flying over a Dallas tornado aftermath, and I'll never forget looking down, and I was in shock. So here's the second story is wiped away. You see the closet in the bedroom. The clothes and the shoes look like they haven't
moved. The closets and the toilets from the...
Just gone. Everything's gone, but the clothes are hanging as though nothing touched them.
Happened.
This is amazing. Mm-hmm. It's absolutely amazing. Then we talk about how to build an emergency kit. And when I do this with school children, it's always fun because I bring a box of things and it's kind of like, what things don't belong in this box? So I tell them, well, if there's a storm coming, what's likely to happen? Well, the power goes out. Everyone knows that. In fact, when I moved here to Georgia back in 2000, I was amazed that every time there was a thunderstorm, out go my lights. This is the craziest place I've ever lived in. What is going on with the electricity here? So if the lights go out, I ask the kids, so what should you have? And I'm always surprised at the number of children who say a candle. And I say, well, we want to rethink that because in order to make a candle work, you need to light a match. What if you've got a gas leak, or what if it's dark? You don't want to be lighting the wrong thing. And then they realize, oh, it's a flashlight and batteries. Mm-hmm. Okay. So we build a kit. I explain them about non-perishable food, a can opener, a manual can opener, which a lot of them have never seen. It's amazing.
Absolutely
people have not
true.
Seen a manual can opener, first aid kit. When I speak to my senior groups, I remind them it's important to have your prescriptions, extra refill of your prescriptions, because you don't know if you won't be able to get to the pharmacy because of the storm damage in your area, okay? And then I also tell them, you know, as well, for the children, even for the adults, a helmet. And some people ask me, a helmet? Well, we know that studies have shown that you can reduce the damage of head trauma by putting on a helmet when you get into that safe place, that bathroom, that basement, that closet. Wow. I learned that in Alabama because after the 2011 outbreak, they were very aware of the fact that there was a lot of head trauma from people who, you know, had no way to protect themselves. Gosh. And they started telling the kids, put a bike helmet on, yeah. Put a football helmet on. And since, you know, you have some notable football teams in that state, everyone wants to put on the right color helmet. I won't get into that. Then remind them to also have a whistle. And they'll say, what do I need a whistle for? And I'll say, well, studies have also shown that if God forbid, you're injured in a storm, you'll have enough breath in your body to at least blow a whistle. So that if someone's trying to find you, you can get that out. That you have enough breath, even if you're, you know, seriously injured, that you can still blow through a whistle to let someone know, come and get me, or come and help me. I need some help.
Wow.
So I walk them through the five levels of awareness. I walk them through how to build a safety plan. And then, of course, I explain that one of the best pieces of your safety plan could be weather call, because it gives you that notification so you can know we need to take action. You know, nothing to me is more tragic than, you know, hearing that someone heard there was a warning and they mistook it for a watch and they just kind of sat back. You asked me earlier about the difference between those two. A watch means that there's the potential for something to happen several hours from now. It's kind of like the yellow light at a stop sign. The warning is something is going on right now. You need to take action immediately. So that's the difference between a watch and a warning. I used a picture today. I don't know if this is the best one to use, but my senior group thought it was hilarious. So the watch is a picture of the woman in the Wizard of Oz before she becomes the Wicked Witch. And the warning is the Wicked Witch.
So, uh-huh.
Watch is Mrs. Gulch, I guess is her name. I can't remember.
Well, I told you this would go fast, Gene, and you already know that. But I want you to tell people how they can either reach Weather Call or you,
right,
if they're interested.
Sure. So to reach me, my phone number here locally in the Atlanta area is 770-376-0497. By email, you can reach me at Gene, G-E-N-E, dot Norman, N-O-R-M-A-N, at weathercall.net. And the website for Weather Call is weathercall, all one word, .net, weathercall.net. And of course, I would encourage people to follow us on Facebook. We also have a LinkedIn presence. And that's also a good way to find out what we're doing and when we have special offers or just new products, new offerings, and also those testimonials. I think there's really nothing more impactful than to hear someone else say, I use this, I depend
and
on it,
helped.
And it works.
Yes, yes. Well, and you can hear a rebroadcast of this show on ujiriaradio.com. on Griswold's Facebook page. And within about a week, you will be sending Gene a link so that you can also see it or listen to it on the Weather Call
page,
website.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Yes, and the website. But as we close today, I will remind you that if young people in this country are our greatest national resource, then it's our senior citizens who are our greatest national treasure. God bless, and thanks for listening.
Ujiriya Radio is sponsored by Griswold Special Care and broadcast live from the Business Radio X studios.